Well, thank you, Hector. That's the story of a lot of God's servants right there. I was thinking as he was singing that, how well that would fit the missionary we just had, Brother Chitty. He told us the story how long they were there and how they felt like quitting, but then God did something special. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59, God makes an analogy concerning the sins of Israel. I'm going to make an analogy tonight, best I can. Something that I, probably many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I probably did this. I don't know if it was a youth meeting or if it was here at church, and I don't know that I could even come close to remembering to do it again. And I'm going to give it a little bit different title. Back then, I called it Satan's Spiderweb. Tonight, I'm going to call it The Real Spider-Man. That ought to help the young folks just a little to listen for a little while anyway. Isaiah 59, I'm going to read about 8 verses, and you'll see God does make the analogy of Israel's sins as he compares it to the serpent or the adder and to the spider. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." And here's an analogy here. "They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." I want to talk to you a little bit about the analogy God uses here, and especially as he does with the spider's web. And Israel's sins are in God's in mind now. And the spider illustrates this in a very simple way. The spider illustrates that is sinister, that is deceptive. I personally know a little bit. Years ago, I was in a business and had to study for state tests and all that. And I learned a little bit about the insect world, and the spider's not an insect. He's in a different category. Most of you know that. You can talk to the lab people about that if you want to. But I know a little bit about them, and it's not that I did so good in biology in school. I did not. I remember that we had to dissect some frogs. We had to get our own frogs, kids. I went down here to Lake Eva in the middle of town. I caught a couple of 3 big bullfrogs. I thought if it was a school project, it would be all right to go home and put them in the bathtub. And I did. And I did get in a heap of trouble with several folks in the family that didn't expect frogs in the bathtub. Those things got, I had to keep them several days. They got nasty. They got stinking. They made noise. And finally, we got them to the lab at school, or what you could call a lab. It was just a table and a bunch of kids around it with a bunch of knives, and we dissected some frogs. That's what we did. I didn't do so good in biology. But here in this text, the web parallels, and the way I my analogy tonight, I want you to see how the web parallels Satan's trap. A web is a trap. You know that? The spider sets the trap. and to catch something. I had personal experience with a lot of them. Some of you fellows that ever went out about daylight while it's still dark, and you go out to the grove to harvest the fruit. Brother Condon and some of you know what I'm talking about, maybe Brother Jeff Cruz. We would take the trucks. We called them goats. Now, they had wheels, not legs. They did have horn, some of them. But anyway, we hauled the fruit out of the groves. Now, some of the groves, especially in those days, the trees were pretty close. And so those goats were cut down. No windshield, no fenders, a box for a seat. And you drove the truck down through the trees, and you have the headlights on before daylight. And when you turn those headlights on, it would look like all the stars in the world had gathered between those trees. It was spider eyes, spider eyes. And you, as the driver, you drove through and you caught the webs in your face and all over you and all of that. And we learned where it was just something you just rubbed off. Later on in the business world, when my brother and I Brother Knaus got into the termite business, and we'd take a light and go under a dark house that had been there 100 years, and when you'd shine that light, all these eyes are looking back at you. And you know that you got to crawl through all of them. But you know what? Got so used to it and so familiar till it was just a nasty thing you had to do. You just had to wipe them off your face, and they'd be crawling over you and all that. I'll make some of you sleep good before I get through with this tonight. But a web, it was his trap. And the most famous, of course, of the spiders is probably the Black Widow. Ladies, the Black Widow is not a good commentary on you. You understand what she does with her mate when she gets through with him? She eats him. That's the truth. I had to study that stuff. I know what I'm talking about. Most of us know about the Black Widow a little bit, and everybody says, well, you identify it by a red dot. No, it's not a red dot. A lot of spiders got red dots on them. It's a hourglass. It's like two pyramids with the ends, the pointed ends together. And we had to memorize all that stuff. Of course, there's tarantulas and all of that. And the missionaries can tell you some spider stories. I'm thinking of one right now. He, for like a better name, he called it the banana spider. He said, when you went by the banana trees, he's talking over there in the Amazon and the Congo or wherever he was. He's talking about how that spider would be almost as big as your fist. And it would be waiting on those banana trees to ambush you, and that it could jump 3 or 4 foot off the tree and land on you. And he showed me where he'd gotten bit. And he had a bite the size of a silver dollar on his arm. He said, now that don't heal up easy, because the plan of the poison is to rot it out. And he was having to fight that. Now, the truth is, spiders are tricky things. They're interesting things if you really examine them. They're not insects, like I said, because they've got about 8 legs, and they got 8 eyes, many of them, and they got about 5,000 holes in the body of some of them. Get them under a magnifying glass and look. They're really, really something to see. But I want to draw a comparison with Satan's web and the spider's web. And it's very close together. A spider is tenacious. He never quits. He never gives up. Ladies, how many of you have had to sweep the spider web out of the corner? But he comes back. And you got to do it again. And you got to do it again. And he just keeps on doing that. Well, they're tough. The spray that will kill another bug often won't kill a spider. Way back years ago, when some of us was in the business of putting these tents, you've seen tents over a house, the plastic tents, and then you shoot them full of gas, and you let them sit there 2 or 3 days or whatever the time is, and then you go back and you take the tent off. By the way, thank God I'll never have to do that again. I'm too old now, and they're not going to do that in heaven. Amen. That is a terrible job. One of the worst jobs I ever had was doing that sort of stuff. But I did it. And And I was the certified operator. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Kadash. You had to go over the gas mask and turn on the gas. And then you had to go back and check the thing out and clear it out and all of that business. But you know what I'd do when I'd go back in that house to see if we'd gotten a good job? I mean, after we'd gassed it, I looked for dead spiders. And if you didn't find dead spiders, if you found live ones, you realize you hadn't done a good enough job on killing the termites you were after. So what I'm saying to you is they're tough. They're tenacious. They don't ever quit. They just keep on coming. Do you ever have problems around your car where the spiders come out of the tree on you? How about the droppings? All that business. You do live in Florida, don't you, most of you? Yeah, you have that trouble. And if you park close to a tree, you'll have the webs come down. But you know, I purposely will park my car away from a tree because of that, to try to keep it cleaner. And then I discover I still get spiders out there. And I say, well, what in the world? Let me tell you what they'll do. They're sharp. How they spread themselves. Different ones, different kinds. But they will make like a little balloon, just so big, just a little ball. It's like a little balloon. And they put their offspring, the eggs that we read about here in the text, in that. And they will be up a tree and they'll let it go and it'll float. Totally unattached to a web. And it'll land on your car. It's amazing how they can do that. They have a way. They're tricky with that. They're tenacious of finding a way. They got these little spinning wheels, little machines inside. And they give out a slender thread. Often that little piece of web is used even in a technical piece of equipment like a microscope sometime. And the amazing thing, a little spider, you know how long a football field is? He can string out 100 yards with that silk web so thin you can hardly see it, and yet it just keeps coming. Fellas, you that do a little fishing with a spinning reel, you don't know nothing compared to the spinning web that's in that wheel that's in that spider. Oh, he is really got it. He's got 6 little spinning machines inside, gives out the thin thread, And he builds so carefully with that thread. Engineers building bridges learned a lot from the spider. A lot of stuff that science has learned. Do you know airplanes learned a lot from birds? That's why they can fly. God's creation way ahead of man. And bridge builders learned a lot from the spider. For instance, there's some spiders in certain parts, northern part up near Alaska. That spider will go down near the seashore, and he'll be up in the branch of a little old tree, a little old shrub maybe, and he sends one single thread down and attaches to a very heavy seashell. Then he sends another wet thread, and that thread dries, and another one, and another one. Finally, he has built himself a cable, and as it dries, it picks the shell up. And it's an amazing thing how a little spider can pick the shell up 8 or 10 inches off the ground and put his nest in it. Engineering that you can hardly believe, all in God's creation. He builds carefully, one thread after the other, secreting that shiny, sticky stuff on it. Then that's the way he sets his trap for an insect or something he's going to eat. He goes out and he puts those threads together. He sticks them together. And then when he builds his web, and it's interesting if you ever watch one build a web, and then he retreats back into the dark corner and he waits and he watches his trap. But more than watching it, he has one thin piece of silk thread that comes all the way to it and attaches to his foot. And when an insect hits his trap, he feels the tug on his foot. And he waits till that insect is trapped good before he goes out, of course, and gets him. He's hiding back in the dark corner. That's like the prince of darkness. A lot of comparison when I talk about Satan being the real Spider-Man. He's sitting back there waiting. And I want to tell you something. The devil sets a trap like a spider. And he's sitting back in the dark corner waiting for you to take the bait. And he'll know it. He feels a tug on his string. Some men say, well, nobody will know, but Satan knows every time you use your cell phone with the wrong picture on it. He feels a tug. He set a trap for you. He knows about it. He's sitting back there in the darkness just waiting, just watching, waiting on your signal to come. I know a man that was pretty high up in popularity. He was pretty high up in prestige. And he traveled a lot by himself. And he was in motels from time to time, every night, here or there. And he was a good Christian man. But he got more and more to watching the TV, which was the spider's web in his room. It was the trap. And he began to watch this on it and that on it. And, of course, night come that he had a knock on the door. And it was a beautiful woman, a prostitute. The TV calls a hooker, knocking on his door. And he fell that night, fell into sin, cost him his family, cost him his position, cost him everything. You see, here's what. There was a web set. There was a string all the way back down to the motel clerk. And that clerk knew every time that man came in what he watched. He felt a tug on the string. He knew what the man was watching on the TV. He picks up the phone. He calls the house of prostitution. They send somebody over at the prime time. You see, it's a trap. He fell into the web. The tug came on the string, and the spider came out of the dark corner. The real Spider-Man came out and got him that night. Cost him his family, cost him his prestige, and everything else. I want to say to you, the devil's got a trap set for you, and you men that got your cell phones and your TV and everything, you better watch out. Pornography has got a string attached to it. And the old devil is sitting in a dark corner waiting for you to bite. And so many have. No, the spider's tenacious. He's also toxic. Like toxic fumes. I went to a church to preach one night, and just as I'd got there, one of the staff had died in their car with carbon monoxide. Didn't smell it, didn't know it, slipped up. The devil is like that. He's good about slipping up with things. I can give you an imagination picture here with me, if you would. The spider sets his trap. He spins his web. And along comes a little young, innocent, macho fly. He just comes buzzing by. Just come right on by. He's proud. Hear my buzz? Boy, I'm big. I'm strong. I'm young. And I just buzz on by. But then something shining caught his eye. It's a shine on the web that the spider puts there. It's a secretion. And he says, oh, you know, I believe Mama told me about that, but I can take care of it. I can handle it. I'll just get kind of close to it. I guess maybe just a little contact won't hurt. So he sticks his foot out, and all of a sudden it sticks. It don't come back. Well, I'm not afraid. I just turn on my afterburner. But still, it couldn't get loose. Well, I'll put it in reverse. Nope, can't get loose. Well, I'll just rest a little while, and after that, I'll have my strength up, and I'll get away. But the little boy laying in bed listening to the buzz going on, have you ever done that? Have you ever heard a fly caught in the spider's web buzzing? Some of you hadn't lived. You've lived in too many polished, sealed houses. Amen? Oh, yeah. I've listened to many time a fly. And you know what you'd do if you're listening to it? The buzz gets less and less. Bzz, 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 it goes on down. No, he don't get loose. He don't get loose. That's a trap. I suspect that little teenage flies, he flies in there and he gets trapped and he gets the other foot in there and he can't get loose and finally he gets so weak you can't even hear his buzzer. And he sees some dark eyes looking out of the corner at him. Then he sees some fangs coming out like this. See, the spider will wait until the buzzing's about gone. He'll wait until all the strength is gone. And the little fly is caught. That's the way the devil works. I'm young, I'm strong, I can get out of it. I can go around with the gang and I won't pretend with them. I won't get involved. I won't get hurt. But you will. You'll get trapped. You'll get trapped. We say it happened with the young folks too many times. Didn't intend to. Got in too deep before they knew it. I was reading in the Ledger paper today, talking about in our public schools, some of them, talking about the kids that get entrapped by the gangs and how they think the gang is the one that understands me. The gang is my friend. The gang is the one that will take care of me. It's just the opposite. You're getting into the spider web that you can't get out of. Can't get out of it. And that's the way the devil works his web today. Works it in churches. Churches slip. Satan sets traps for churches. Think about it. Think about the little fly. He buzzes. He tries to pull away. He can't get away. No matter if he puts it in reverse or what, he can't get away. And he buzzes and makes a lot of noise to start with, but then it dies down. A lot of old folks in churches, and I mean, I'm talking about old members, not so much in years, but I mean in age or birthdays, but how many good old church members never thought their church would slip to where it slipped? But they fell in the web. They fell in the trap. Never planned it. Oh, when the music first began to go to the left, well, that's just the young people. It's just the young people's music. Next thing you know, it's the whole church. It's gone. The hymn book is gone. The old Bible is gone. They've continued to buzz a while, but the buzz gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And the next thing you know, the trap has got them. They're caught in the web. They can't get out of it. They see the methods change. They see the standards go. And it's amazing how you find spiders in unusual places. If you were to hold your place here and flip over to the book of Proverbs, one verse in chapter 30 of Proverbs, very near the end of Proverbs, chapter 30. Listen to what it says. The spider taketh hold with her hands. You ever watched a spider work? That's what it does. Taketh hold with her hands and is in kings. Got that? Kings' palaces. Oh, in the rich place, the spider is there, as well as in the poor place. In places you might not expect. How about in the news recently? Did you remember hearing about the fellow that's supposed to have committed suicide in the jail? The one that was into the prostitution thing and running the lives of a lot of young girls? Very rich man. His clients were top politicians. And now it's in the news that one of the clients was Prince Andrew. I read this verse about the spider being in king's palaces. I saw in the news where the royal family is having to censor their own son and say you can no longer represent us at royal affairs. This Jeffrey Epstein, this dirty fellow that is in hell now, that done all this bad and had all the cover-up that's going. I don't any more believe that fella killed himself than that I could fly to the moon. He was bumped off by the power that he had that could not stand the exposure. Guarantee you. I hope you've never contemplated suicide, but if you ever try it, it's harder to do than you think. You can't hold your breath till you die. Do you know that? No. There's a bunch of things you can't do because natural reflex won't let you do it. You can't do what they claim he did with a bed sheet. to hang himself from his bunk. You ever watch the cowboy movies, you learn something. When they hang a guy, what do they do with his hands? They tie him behind his back. If they're not tied behind his back, he's going to reach up and get the rope. Right? His hands weren't tied. His hands weren't tied. There was a knotted sheet tied around his neck and to the top of his bed. But I want to tell you something. When he fell against it, he'd have reached up and got a hold of it. Just like it would be for you to try to hold your breath till you die. You can't do it. You can't do it. Sad truth is, he was knocked off. Those guards were paid to go to sleep. Those cameras were set not to take pictures. The whole scheme, anybody ought to know that. But what you had is you had the old spider coming out of the corner. Satan's trap. Spider web. Just like the real spider. I mean, we see him doing that today. Yeah, the spider's in high places, no doubt about it. And we see in most churches when they fall, the fall starts at the top. An interesting thing. Do you know it's the leadership, the hierarchy in church organizations that goes liberal before the people in the pew? Always works that way. Always works that way. Churches get complacent now. We can get complacent in the pew. And we take a lot of good things for granted, we do here at our church. I remember when I would have been excited beyond no end to think about how many buses we run. And last Sunday to have 500 on buses. Wow, that's great. But you know what I did last Sunday? I said it's great, but I didn't say it's great like I would have a few years ago. Got used to it. Kind of got used to it. We got used to having good music in our church. I appreciate our singing families and our ones that do special. I appreciate all the work that goes into it, our choir and all of that. And speaking of our choir, let me jump on this a minute. If you can sing in the choir, you ought to be singing in the choir. It looked a little thin to me when I looked this morning. Done a good job, but that's a testimony up there. That's a testimony to folks that come. Let's don't take it for granted. They'll come in here one day and say, well, what happened to the choir? Well, what happened to you? Couldn't you be in there? You know, God could deal with some of you and take all your singing talent away like he has me. If I could sing, I'd be in that choir. But I can sure enjoy it. And I sit close here and do enjoy it. But I don't take it for granted. There has to be some work. Brother Hector, Brother Bert, all the folks that's working with the music, they're doing something good for us, folks. Don't take them for granted. And when we have a special like we had with the Bukowskis and tonight and all the folks that help us, go to them once in a while and just don't take them for granted. They had to put some extra time, some extra work, and do a good job for us like that. But you see, it's real easy for us to get real complacent. You see, that little fly just flies by the spider web, and maybe he's flown by it before, but now it glitters a little more, and next thing he knows, he's trapped. He's trapped. I don't know what your spider web is tonight, just glittering at you, but I wouldn't be surprised. But what we got, some young flies and some older flies with their eye on something that shines. You better realize it's deadly. Better realize there is a booger back in the dark corner and you don't want to see him. If you want to see something pretty, get you a good strong glass and look at a bad spider. He is not pretty. And he's waiting in the dark corner. And the spider man, Satan, is waiting in the corner. He's got a line out there. He's got his trap set. He's got something shiny for you to fly by and consider. Could you be considering something tonight? Been looking where you shouldn't look? And going where you shouldn't go, getting enticed with something. Oh, I'm just going to have a little contact. That's what the fly thought. But he can't get away now. And the more he fights, the more trapped he becomes. That's a very real thing of nature, folks. But don't let the shiny stuff attract you. It's deadly. It's toxic. I say this, and I've heard so many young folks, and I've had them say to me, it won't happen to me. If famous last words. Amen. It won't happen to me. Oh, yes. The devil is smarter than you think he is. When you get in the web, it's terminal. Satan, like a spider, hidden unseen. He's got a string on his foot. He feels a tug. You'll see his eyes coming when it's too late. When it's too late. You'll see those old fangs moving closer. Closer. And then he's got you. He pounces on you. You say, no, be a pastor long as I have. And you'll understand the analogy I'm giving you tonight. It happens to too many. Somebody says, preacher, you believe in vampires. I sure do. Spiders. Spiders are vampires. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You see, when they catch the fly in the web, they let him buzz till his strength is kind of gone. But you know what they do with that fly in the web? They don't go out there and eat him right away. They go out there and they inject him. And they embalm him. And that fly may not even be for that adult spider. He may wrap him up and save him for the babies that's coming along. And the amazing thing is that insect he catches in the web can be so embalmed with that venom that spider shoots into him till he's preserved. He's alive, but he's not alive. He's in a situation of eternal death. He's being preserved unto the little spiders. Need to open the refrigerator door and feast on him. Hey, study it out. All that, get into your biology class. All what I just said to you will be true. Oh, look, the spider's got his eye on the web. He's got a string attached to it. And if you've got some web that's shining and calling you and you think you can just have a little contact with it, it won't get you. A little lick, just a little statement, just a little temptation. Oh, it's bright and it's shiny and you're so wise. Next thing you know, you may be into a sleep of eternal death, embalmed by the devil. No second chance. No second chance. You know, I could be talking to a teenager tonight that just thinks, well, I got friends and, you know I'm a Christian and all, but I want to help them if I can, and they're my friends, and I don't want to offend them. And watch out, you're getting too close to the web. Too close to the web. You may be here tonight and you are saved and you've been serving God, but you've been cutting back here and cutting back there, and something shiny is catching your eye. You think I can have just a little contact. That's what the little fly thought. Look out. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, I want to tell you something. If the devil gets you in his web, you die in that position. It's too bad forever. You're lost. Jesus don't want you to be trapped. The devil is the real Spider-Man. And he's catching a lot of victims. He's got a lot of traps set. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. He's the only way to stay out of the spider web. He's the only way to have victory over the real Spider-Man. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Oh, yes. He ought to be your Savior. And then let him be your Lord and follow him and listen to him and serve him and keep his commandments. There's all kind of traps set out there, folks. I guarantee you they're out there. And you're not going to get close and have just a little bit of contact. It'll reach out and grab you. I give you an analogy tonight as the Lord did. He told Israel here, your sins. And he compared them to the spider and to the cockatrice eggs and all the stuff that we experiment and experience with the spiders and with the vipers and all that. He said, your sin is like that. It's a trap. It's a trap. Don't fall into it tonight. Let's let God warn us and turn to the Lord with all our heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads and stand, please. We commit the invitation. Whatever God's asked you to do tonight, you come and do it and let him have his way in your life. Could be tonight somebody in this little analogy of the spider web might have been getting close to it, but you're going to get away from it. You're going to get farther away from it. You're not going to reach out and test it. You're not going to touch it. You're not going to have contact with it. You're not going to let the devil get you. Amen. All right, let's have an invitation verse. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
How about you tonight? How about you? Bow our heads a moment. Music will play just a little bit. The invitation's still open. Some have come tonight, and you can still come. Invitation's always first to that one that needs to come and be saved. But it's also open to those that need to draw back closer to the Lord, draw away from the devil's traps, to not fall into so many traps, so much deception today. Somebody said, about the time you think you're too strong to fall, you will fall. We get saved by grace, but we need His grace to stay out of the devil's web. We need to stay way off from it. Not think we're different. We can get close to it. It won't get us. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. All right. We're going to let you be seated, and we'll share with you here. We have the Perkins family, right? Todd and Jill, ask you to stand up here with the family. They've got a special family. I'll see if I can get the names right. Arthur, Todd, and Michael Allen. Is that?
It's Arthur and Chris, Todd and Jill.
Okay. All right, I'm going to start over. This young man is
Arthur.
And youngster.
That's our granddaughter.
Granddaughter, okay. All right, like I say, a special family here, but they're moving their membership from First Baptist in Bartow, coming this way. So we have a motion to receive them by a show of hands and so carried. Amen. All right. Then we have Javon Pierce. I hope I said that right. And Javon, did I say your name right?
Yes, sir. Javon Pierce.
Okay, Javon Pierce. And you've come receive Christ as your Savior tonight?
Yes.
All right. Amen. And he's going, he was saved on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Amen. And he's going to follow the Lord in baptism tonight. All right. Good. Okay, we have a motion to receive Javon as a show of hands and so carried. All right. Let me get some of you men to go on around, and we'll also send the other brother around and get as we get Javon. Folks, we'll let y'all be seated back here and have you up later so folks can shake hands with you. Well, we praise the Lord for that, and we'll let you know on the one at the altar that's being dealt with here in just a few minutes. All right, Brother Bert, would you lead us in something, please?
416 in your hymn books. 416. I love this song. It asks a question in the verse, but it answers it in the chorus. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Amen. 416. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the bird and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus
snuck up on me.
Javon, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, stay there just a minute, Brother Terry. I may have another one coming, I'm not sure.
I haven't talked to her about baptism, but
okay, we'll wait till later on her baptism. Go ahead and let you go. All right, well, that's good. Send her on up here when you get through, Sister Condon. Folks, y'all stand back up right here and let the folks have a chance to come by and welcome you into the fellowship of the church. I did have a motion on. Okay, what is my name anyway? Sometimes kind of blank out a little bit. Anyway, we also praise the Lord for this other lady over here that Sister Condon is dealing with, leading her to the Lord. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's be dismissed. Come on, shake hands with the family and get, welcome them into our fellowship. Amen.